Okay, so history is full of poetic forms, but are there any new ones? We're going to talk next with the unofficial poet laureate of Twitter. Her name is Patricia Lockwood, and she's invented a new form called sext poetry. We'll explain. She's also the author of a prose poem called Rape Joke, which was one of the first poems to go viral, and of a widely praised poetry collection called Motherland, Fatherland, Homeland Sexuals. Lockwood sat down with Sarah Nix this week, downed a whole can of Red Bull, and started talking about everything except poetry, including the memoir she's working on.
I'll tell you a secret. I don't ever listen to radio because I'm afraid of radio, talk radio.
Oh, you're afraid of, like, the jibber-jabber to radio?
What? No. What happens is when I'm in the car and I'm flipping through stations and I hear someone talking, I think it's like an existential panic comes over me and I think, what if they talked forever? Like, what if the talking just went on and on and on? And then I have to change it really fast.
Because you were afraid that the talking would keep you trapped in the car?
Yeah, it's a sort of like a purgatory or a hell. Like, the talking is always going on the radio no matter what, right?
Yeah. Do you feel like that about writing? That you have to write forever? That the language holds on to you? That it owns you somehow?
Oh, yes. I am trapped in a hell. I mean, it's not of my own making. I was just called to be there. But yeah, that's why you have to keep working until you die, because you're trapped in the alphabet. And you have to, like, make your way through the labyrinth. It's like an obstacle course.
Well, and you have at least two outlets, right, for your struggle with the alphabet, or you're wandering through the maze of the alphabet right now.
At the moment. But it turns out I'm very bad at switching gears. So I have poetry on the one side, but I've had to abandon it a little bit because I'm working so hard in the memoir because I want it to be really, really good.
And you've also got the Twitters.
I do have that. Twitter is my friend and my companion till the end. But maybe I'm trapped in that too. Maybe it's a hell dimension.
Are you writing poetry as well right now?
Sometimes I dabble my little foot in from time to time, but mostly I just have to concentrate. If I'm doing one thing or the other, I have to concentrate just on the prose or on the poetry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Motherland, Fatherland, Homeland Sexuals?
Yes, we can. I actually brought a copy because I like to look at it.
I'm glad you did, because I would like you to read something from it if you are game.
I knew it. I always like to read The Hunt for a Newborn Gary. For some reason, that just reads really well to me.
Great. You want to read it for us? Just so people can get a taste of what your poems on the page sound like.
I would love to. Page 20. The Hunt for a Newborn Gary. Once babies were born as Garys, and no one doubted what they were. And they were true men, these babies, with Dangle. And the very name Gary, it had the sound of exposing itself to you. Each Gary made a fine crowd noise. Each Gary was a crowd to cheer his death-defying loop-to-loops. And each Gary went wild when he did not die. One Gary after another, in a loud, unbroken line. But was somewhere born a baby named Gary? Sometime in the last 15 years? Not one, says the living record. Not at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Gary sounds to us now the way Orville must have sounded in 1950. A man in the brand new days of the car saying haw and gee to his Ford. He can't help it. So recent did the horse flank twitch beneath the fly. What Garys are still alive are gray. They ask to hold our newborns, and the rest of the family looks on afraid. If the infants are dropped and broken, they will make a sick, overripe sound. Gary. Now just 1 minute, I interrupt. My father had that name. I don't believe a word of this, except for the honest word Gary. When he had it, the name was in fullest flower, and perfectly a name of the now. And he shot wiggling seconds into my mom, and one of them plumped and grew big-headed, and he named me, he couldn't help it, Orange. And my life was a film as long as my life, of my name growing mold in real time. I was part of a picnic basket, and packed for a family trip. For a family trip to where? The past. And Gary was a canyon there. And the babies of the past tumbled into him happily. and the sunset into him was famous. And up and down his sides grew the freshest, wildest 4 o'clocks.
It's a great collection. And I have to say that about a third of the way through, I started to feel like there was some kind of slippage of my sense of self.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have this...
You were entering the dimension.
I was. There's this morphing and blending of humans and animals.
There is, yeah. You turn into an animal. You do. You start to turn into a beast about, what'd you say, about a third of the way. Third is about right, yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Twitter. Mm. Well, you have this really particular voice on Twitter that is kind of similar to the voice in this collection, but a little bit different, a little snappier, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, do you consider tweets poems sometimes?
Sometimes they are, but it must be a more natural voice. It must be just closer to my actual interior monologue. But the process is generally very different. I think in my poems, I do put on a little bit of a tuxedo for that. It's more formal. You don't, you know, sit down and write a poem and instantly it's published and in everyone's minds. And that's what happens on Twitter. It's very futuristic, even to the point of being bad.
Yeah.
The thing I think that happened for me is that the sort of poetic voice arrived to me very early, and then later came a more humorous voice, but I figured at some point I should figure out a way to sort of merge those two voices.
Did that happen in this collection, you think?
That's what I tried to do. Now, it was very difficult, so I don't know if I always succeeded, but that was the idea, because it is so rare to read a poem that can actually make you laugh, even in the sort of way that's like, heh, you know, like you never almost encounter a poem that makes you laugh out loud. But I knew I was capable of making jokes that made people laugh out loud, and I knew I was capable of writing poetry. So I just thought, let's make a huge freak hybrid of these two things, then show everyone my monster.
That's part of how it seems to me that you've wrested that kind of sticky juvenile misogyny out of the hands of the comment fields on YouTube.
I think so, because it is a very disturbing voice, and it's also very pervasive. It's everywhere. If you take them at face value, it's a really disturbing voice, but it's also really funny and really weird and very poetic in the sense that words are existing in configurations that they haven't existed in before.
Yeah, they're using poetic license all over the place.
All over the place. Nastily. Yeah.
And one of the punchiest ways that you do that are your sects. Like, one of my favorites is, Mavis Beacon bursts out of the computer and shows me where to put my fingers.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember Mavis Beacon?
I do.
That is such a specific... She taught me to type. And, I mean, if a lady teaches you to type, you're going to think about her sexually later on in life. And so, I mean, that's where I was coming from with that one.
And so there are these kind of ironic sex messages.
Sex text messages.
They are literary and funny and kind of skewering of the bad sexting.
People are bad at sexting, I think. They're not so good. So I figure put a dinosaur in there. Put a little horny beast or creature. Like, there are lots of animals in my sex, too.
I haven't seen those in a while, though. Are you still doing
those? I haven't done any sex in a while. I've been saving them. What happened was that they sort of went everywhere. And that, like, then everyone was doing them. And so I thought I would just take a little break for a while.
Did you start a meme?
I did.
Is that what happened?
Yes, it was my invention. it actually weirdly was. Yeah, so I thought, you know, once it sort of went out into the world, just let it do what it's going to do, and then maybe it'll come back after a while.
Sounds like a kind of community has grown up around you online.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I think they're mostly my friends.
11,000 of them?
I mean, I don't think that... I couldn't tell them to walk off a cliff tomorrow or drink Flavorade or anything like that. So most of the people I talk to on Twitter are my friends. The other people who follow me, I think at a certain point, if you become visible enough, you just become part of like the starter package of Twitter and sort of just more people follow you for that reason.
Do you think there's a way in which taking poetry solely off the page or off the cafe stage and putting it online, particularly on Twitter, makes it more relevant somehow?
I think it does. I think that there's a sort of a fear people have about poetry, probably from school, because we're like, read about this hired man who's dying. Read about Richard Corey, who killed himself at the end. It's like very traumatizing for everyone. What I think happened, though, is that you teach people that it's not necessarily that complicated. And I'm also doing something very specific where if I'm tweeting in a natural voice and the natural voice resembles what I do in poetry sometimes, I'm teaching people how to read me. I think that a lot more people would read it if it were accessible, not in the sense of how it's written, but if it were just more pervasively out there. I think that's what's behind those sorts of programs where they put a poem on a bus or something like that, which I always find really funny. Okay, yeah, put it on a bus, but also, you know, put it on something like Twitter.
Patricia Lockwood is the unofficial poet laureate of Twitter. She's also the inventor of the sext as poem and author of Motherland, Fatherland, Homeland Sexuals. Sarah next talked with her.